Good morning. Good to see a good number out. I really wasn't expecting this many people, but it shows your faithfulness and wanting to come out and worship our Lord this morning. Don is here. He was supposed to be in a meeting this week, but it got canceled due to bad weather, so he is here with us, and that's good. Hopefully it won't do anything till we get out of here and everybody gets home and is safe. If you read the bulletin, you'll notice that what Brother Tom read is not what I had planned to preach on. I did a funeral a week ago yesterday, and some of the same things happened at that funeral that I see often. People were filled with a lot of regrets. And I plan to talk about those regrets, but I'm going to save that to a time when everybody is back together. So last night I decided to put together another sermon, and we're going to talk about the forecast. I'm not a weatherman, not Leland Statham, but we've all had our eyes on the forecast lately, right? We want to watch it. We tune in as much as possible. We get on our phones, and we're trying to figure out what it's going to do. And it's a big deal. I understand if the weather gets bad, but we're always interested in a forecast. The problem with a forecast of man is this. I saw this picture. It may snow 0 up to 85 inches. I know that's for a joke, but that's kind of how the forecasts go, right? It might do this, it might do that. It may do it Saturday, Sunday, or Monday, or it may not do it at all. You know, people says prepare for the snowpocalypse. And that's kind of how people act sometimes, right? They get all excited, all in an uproar. In fact, I was talking to someone on Friday, and they said, you know, I believe it's going to snow. I said, well, I don't know, we'll see. And they said, well, they're 2 for 2 this year. Now, they were 0 for 9 last year, but they're 2 for 2 this year. You see, the problem is when man makes a forecast, when man tries to predict the future, it's impossible. We can't do that, right? We like to think we can. We talk about a lot of different things. We try to use science and all these other things, but ultimately, man cannot predict the future. We can't predict snow. In fact, in the book of Job, God tells us He is in control of the treasuries of the snow. He has control of all things. In fact, the next slide, God holds everything in His hands. We sing that song from time to time. God holds the whole world in His hands. He is the only one that can predict the future. For the next several minutes, or not several, I promise it to be a short lesson. I know everybody's wanting to get home and be safe. But I want us just to see things that God said, God forecasted, were going to happen, and that they did happen. You see, I said the weatherman, they were 2 for 2 this year, but they were 0 for 9 last year. Do you realize God hits it 100% of the time? Do you realize God's never been wrong? Do you realize everything that God has ever said was going to happen, it happened? And we're going to run through some familiar things, but I want us to get the gist of the lesson. God said in Genesis chapter 6, it's going to rain. Familiar story to everybody in this room. Noah is there. Noah is a righteous man, and God decided to spare Noah, and He told Noah, it's going to rain. It's going to rain, and it's going to flood the earth. I'm sorry that I made the earth. The thoughts and the intents of man's heart are only evil continually. It's going to rain. But it had never rained, Genesis 2, verse 5. It had never rained before, and people did not believe God's forecast. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24, the Bible reveals in those days they were living it up. They were eating and drinking and having parties and worried about getting married and all those things, and they paid absolutely no attention to God's forecast. They didn't believe it at all, the Bible says, until it started raining. And then what happens? Well, it's too late. But you see, God said it was going to happen. He forecasted it long before it came into being. And He hits it 100% of the time. God said in Genesis 41, there was a famine coming. And Glenn Colley stood right here Tuesday night, and he talked about that famine. But God gave a dream unto Pharaoh, and that dream was the skinny cows and the fat cows and the skinny ears of corn and the fat ears of corn. And the whole purpose was that there was a famine coming. And Joseph came and interpreted those dreams. And don't you suppose that a lot of people didn't believe that? Now, Pharaoh believed that because he appointed Joseph in charge and said, get ready for this thing that's coming. But you see, God said long before it was going to happen, it was coming. Long before that famine hit, there were 7 years of plenty. And don't you suppose that people, while all of these years of plenty were going, that they thought, that's not going to happen. Look at all, man, our crops are bringing forth more than they ever had. God doesn't know what He's talking about. I can only imagine that's what people were saying. But God said it was going to happen. And again, He's right 100% of the time. God said in Exodus chapter 6, verse 1, deliverance is coming. I want to read just a few of these to you. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1, God says, I'm going to bring you out of bondage. He promised that He was going to do that, and you know what? God did exactly what He said He would do. Exodus chapter 6, verse 1, then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. But do you think the people really believe that? This was before anything ever started to happen. God says, Pharaoh's going to let you go, and more than that, he's going to drive you out. He's going to force you to leave. He was forecasting something that was going to happen, and no doubt the people, they didn't understand that. The people didn't really believe that. No doubt Pharaoh didn't believe that. Because you see, they had to go through all 10 plagues before Pharaoh finally did exactly what God said, and he pushed the people out. He says, get out. Get out. Don't come back. I don't want any part of it. But you see, God forecasted that long before it happened. And God is always right 100% of the time. God says in Exodus chapter 16, verse 4 and following, He says, the people were complaining and were hungry. And God, why didn't you leave us in Egypt? And we had all of those amazing things to eat there. And God, you should have left us. And God says, bread is coming. God says, I'm going to start feeding you. I'm going to start causing bread to fall down from heaven. And every morning you're going to get up and you're going to gather that bread. And you're going to gather twice as much on Fridays to prepare for the Sabbath. God says bread was coming. What happened the next night? Well, bread came, right? Because if God says something is going to happen, it's absolute. It's going to happen. God said in Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, the land is yours. Turn over to Joshua with me. God says, verse 1, I'll read it for you. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, and he said, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people unto the land which I do give thee, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon that I have given you, as I have said unto Moses. Long before they passed over the Jordan River, long before they ever fought a battle to gain that land, God says, I am forecasting that it's yours. I have given it to you. You just carry on and do exactly what I say, and it's yours. But you see, a lot of people didn't believe that, did they? They thought a lot of those things were silly and having to march around the walls of Jericho and all of those things. But you see, God said it was true. And if God says it's going to happen, 100% of the time it happens. Flip back in your Bibles to Deuteronomy. Long before the people ever crossed over into the promised land, God told them something that was going to happen. And this thing was not going to happen for a few hundred years. But I want you to notice what God said in Deuteronomy 31, beginning in verse 15. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up, and they will go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me, God says. They will break my covenant, which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. And many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they shall say in that day, are not these evils come upon us, because our God is not among us. And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they have wrought, in that they are turned to other gods. God says, long before they ever even entered the promised land, He says, there's going to come a day these people are going to turn their back on me. They're going to be idolaters. They're going to do all of these evil things. And God says, I'm going to take care of that. And we find out after a couple hundred years, Assyria defeated the northern kingdom. We find out a little while later that the Babylonians came and they took the southern kingdom away. God said it was going to happen before it ever began, if you will. And it happened. See, His predictions are always right. His forecast is always going to be correct. You see, God said, talking about things in the New Testament, God says John the Baptist is coming. God had prophesied that in many ways. Isaiah 40, verse 3 and following, Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. He's going to come. He's going to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He's going to be one that's like Elijah. God said He is coming. You open your New Testament, what happens? He came. He was there. He was the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. And that's exactly what He did. You see, God's forecast is always right. God said Jesus is coming. Isaiah 7, verse 14, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call His name Emmanuel. Well, that's 700 or 800 years before Mary was ever became with child. But God says it is going to happen. Isaiah 9, verse 6, unto us a son is born, a son is giving, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and He's going to have all of these names, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, all of those things He's going to be called. God said it is coming, and it came. You realize He prophesied the death of Christ, and you guys know these things. This is not difficult things. God said in Isaiah chapter 53, He's going to be wounded for our transgressions. He's by His stripes, we're going to be healed. He's going to have judgment taken away from Him. He's going to be kept in prison in a place that He should not be. All of these things are going to happen to Him. He's going to be like a sheep. He's going to be silent before His shearers. All of those things. Psalm 22 begins with, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Just like what Jesus said when He was on the cross. But long before it happened, God said it would happen. And it happened. You realize He said the church was coming? Isaiah 2:2, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. It's going to be established on the top of the hills. All nations are going to flow into it. Daniel 2:44, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. The church is coming. Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32. Joel prophesied that the church was coming. Peter stands up in Acts chapter 2 and he quotes what Joel said. God forecasted it was coming. God forecasted forgiveness is coming. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. How was that going to happen? Zechariah 13 verse 1, there's going to be a fountain in those days. A fountain, we sing about that fountain. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And through that blood, we lose all our guilty stains, right? God said all of those things are coming, and you guys know that. You say, that's simple, that's basic. Tell us something we don't know. Here's something else you know. I don't know why it's doing that. Wasn't supposed to do that. Here's something most people don't really listen to. You realize God said the end is coming? You know, and when it comes to that, people don't really take heed. Everything that we looked at, and man, that was just a small list. We could look at thousands and thousands of things that God said was going to happen, and every one of them happened. Exactly when He said it would happen, exactly how He said it would happen, exactly where He said it would happen, everything is absolute. God is 100%. But you see, God tells us the end of the world is coming too. God tells us judgment is coming. But the problem there is He doesn't tell us when. He doesn't tell us when. He tells us how it's going to happen. He tells us a lot of details about it. But He doesn't tell us when. And therefore, most people, they just go on with their lives. And honestly, I believe a lot of people don't believe that's going to happen. Although God has proven himself to be right every time, we don't really take heed to it. You know, the weatherman forecasts snow, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. We get all in a tizzy and everything, and we get worried about it, but God says the end is coming, and we just kind of, that's not going to happen to me. It's not going to happen while I'm alive. I mean, that's way down the road somewhere. Look what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Notice what he says is going to happen. When he comes, this is exactly what's going to happen. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. He says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. He says, I am warning you what's going to happen. We are people that like forecasts. We like to know what is coming in our future, and God says, this is coming. But you know, people scoffed at that. Even in the times of the New Testament writers, they scoffed at that. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up by your pure mind, by the way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. And they will say, where is the promise of his coming? He said he was coming. He forecasted he was coming. He's not coming. He's not going to do it. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. He's not done it yet, so why is he going to do it now? People still say the same thing. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as a day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Just because he hasn't come yet, he's not slack. He's not decided he's not going to do it, as some men count slackness. But is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Peter says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and all the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Listen to that. God says he's coming again. He's coming and you're not going to expect it. It's going to be like a thief in the night. People are going to be off having a big time and have absolutely no concern about anything of the sort, but I promise you, he's coming. People are putting all kind of pictures like this out. They go to Walmart, and there's no milk on the in the refrigerators. They go to the bread aisle, and there's no bread in the bread aisle. And people, a man forecasted something was going to happen, and people get all excited, and they lose all sense of rationale. They do. People are very selfish. And they go out, and they hoard all of these things, and they are preparing for something that might or might not happen. We don't know. But every time something like this happens here in Tennessee, what happens? Chaos, right? Just because it might happen. I'm going to tell you something. Tom read for us just a moment ago in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. And this comes from Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says the same thing. God can't lie. It's absolutely impossible. Now, the weatherman, I'm not saying that he's lying, but he's kind of like my cousin told me one time. He says, I'm always right 50% of the time. I don't know how you take that. That means he may be right and he may be wrong. But God's always right. God is always right. He will never be wrong. And I can promise you that one day is going to be the last day. What if people got as excited about that as they do about a weather forecast in Tennessee? What if people were concerned about their soul like they're concerned about their physical safety? Don't you think we'd have more people at church? Don't you think we would have more people willing to study the Bible? Don't you think we would have more people that were concerned about living righteous life before God? You see, the problem is people take all the wrong things serious and they don't listen to God. Although He's right 100% of the time, He's never wrong. He's never told us anything that was going to happen that's not going to happen. If He says it's happening, it's going to happen. And it's going to happen exactly the way He said. This morning, if you're not ready for that event, you have an opportunity this morning. You have an opportunity to prepare for what is coming because, again, we don't know when that is. And brethren, I think it's time that we take that more seriously. Peter says, seeing you know all of these things are going to happen, who should you be? What manner of person should you be? Shouldn't you have your life right in accordance with His will? Shouldn't you be ready for that day because you don't know when that day is? Why don't we take as much precaution with the Lord as we do with the snow? This morning, if you're not a New Testament Christian, I beg you to be one this morning. This morning, if there's something not right in your life, why don't you get that right? Why don't you get that right before the Lord comes back? And then you don't have any more opportunities because He is coming. Whatever you may need this morning, won't you come while together we stand and sing?